Good morning, brethren and sisters. Welcome to the table of the Lord this morning. And we welcome any visitors with us, and we hope that you enjoy fellowship with us here at Hyde Park this morning. As a basis for our brother Derek's words of exhortation, he's asked that we read from Psalm 116.
Well, brethren and sisters, so our minds may be drawn to the emblems and may be focused on that great gift that's been given to us, I call upon our brother Derek Butler to lead us in words of exhortation.
Brothers and sisters and young people, normally I would do an exhort on the readings of the day. Today I thought I'd choose my favourite psalm. And I'd never studied the psalm before, but looking at it for this exhortation this morning, I realised why I liked the psalm so much. I had no idea of the depths included in the psalm. What's interesting, brothers and sisters, is that sometimes when we read through the scriptures daily, we find so many little gems and treasures that help us to be able to connect other thoughts together. You know, Psalm 116 is one of the Hallel Psalms. Now, there's a number of psalms in that group. But during the first century, during the time of our Lord, the custom was that Psalm 113 to 118 was sung during the Passover week. And just interestingly, Psalm 116 fits right into the thoughts of our Lord as well, as he prepared himself for the sacrifice that he would make of his own life. And when we look at the psalm and we connect it with our Lord, which is the reason why I wanted to choose the psalm this morning, Psalm 116 really gets into the depths of the conviction of every brother and sister in our Lord. And as we reflect upon the life of our Lord and we look back over that time, we see, do you remember in the memorial feast as expressed in Matthew, Mark and Luke and in 1 Corinthians, we know that after supper they sang a hymn, and one of those hymns was one of these hymns, one of these psalms. And it may well have been Psalm 118. It may have been Psalm 116, who knows. Alfred Edersheim in the temple services in the time of Christ, he actually provides a fairly large outline in terms of the use of the psalms during that week. I don't want to delve into that. In fact, I didn't really look at that in detail. Probably did about 10 or 15 years ago. But today, I thought I'd just reflect on the psalm to help us focus on our Lord that's before us upon the table. You know, our Lord is our Lord. He is the one that bought us with a price, the price of his blood. A life that was totally committed and dedicated to his Father. One that had so much not only to receive from his Father, but so much to give back to his Father and to us. And sometimes when we look as Christadelphians in these last days, we do go through difficult times. We do have great burdens to bear. And I think the most insidious of them all is our ability to be able to be faithful despite the embarrassment that we have about our difference between ourselves and the people that we mix with. We're living in a very godless world. And what we want to talk about this morning, brothers and sisters, and I don't want to delve too much and make us feel negative about ourselves. I want us to be inspired by what our Lord went through. And you know, sometimes when you look at a man, and we look at the man, our Lord Jesus Christ, and we look at him and we say to ourselves, he went through all the sufferings that any human being could ever go through. There's nothing that he didn't go through to the extent that any one of us, he went through difficulties far in excess of what we ourselves go through ourselves. And to the point of death. And God doesn't try us to death, does he? He doesn't draw us to the grave in the sense of our own, the sacrifice of our own self. The crucifixion, the yielding up, and his absolute trust in his Father. God doesn't take us to that point. We may die because of our infirmity, but this man died in his prime. This man knew that he was going to die. He started his ministry knowing the day of his crucifixion. It was predicted day by day, brothers and sisters and young people. He carried out his conviction to his Father absolutely implicitly. And when we look at the psalm, and what I want to do today, I would like to just read through the psalm, make a few observations about the psalm, and then I'd like to reflect on some of those points that come out of the psalm. So let's just have a look. We'll just read from verse 1. Okay, I love the Lord, I love Yahweh, because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Or in the margin in some of our Bibles, and certainly within the Hebrew, God has heard my voice of supplication. And that comes out in a number of translations. So it's like, I love the Lord because he listens to me. I plead with him and he listens to me. What a beautiful thought that is, brothers and sisters, that God actually listens when we have a need. He listens to us. Unfortunately, sometimes we don't pray to God often enough. We're not familiar with God enough. And we don't receive the benefit of our connection with our Lord and God and Father. And sometimes by familiarly doing it like regularly, it is important for us to get to know our Lord and our God. He is the great creator of life. And he is our Father. And that's why Jesus came along to bring him, not to be the almighty God, the creator of the universe, which he is, but he's also brought us to become a son and daughter of the living God. And, you know, the word father, you know, the father, I mean, we can say father and say, well, there's a bit of a distance there. What about dad? In, you know, Abba, Father, that's who God is to us. He is our father. He is our dad. In the symbol of what Jesus actually brought us to. He actually brought us into close proximity to the almighty creator of the universe, who is our Father and his Father. And the relationship between those two was Father and Son. Father, Son who looked like his Father, potentially. Who sits with his Father, who's at one with his Father, who's in the bosom of his Father. And they understand each other. And they work together with each other because they're of the same mind and same conviction. And the reason why we love the Lord is because he listens to us and listens to our prayer. Verse 2. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. I will always talk to God. And I don't know about you, brothers and sisters and young people, but prayers to me come in waves. It's like I dedicate myself in prayer to God. I pray regularly. And then sometimes you get used to not praying. And when you have some difficulties, you start praying again, or you don't pray to God. And you know where your strength is coming from, and yet we really go through the struggle of life, don't we? Knowing that God is always there because he's not visible, we actually, because we don't see him, it's easy to let it go until issues come up or something of great joy or anguish comes in front of us, and then we are confronted with the thought, I should pray to God. And we realise how consoling it is when you can pray to God and seek strength from him. When we start turning to his word, sometimes when we have difficulties or even going through life and life is a breeze, often we shut our Bibles. We don't open them very often sometimes. And that's a bit of a struggle, isn't it? When you think about it, you know, this is God's word to us. And so often we can just shut it and not open it up until we come back to the meeting. And we all have that struggle, I'm sure. I am sure. There are some people who I absolutely really respect, because every single morning they get up early in the morning and actually devote themselves to the word And you can see that comes out in their personality. It actually exudes because they're in the space. They're in that space. Their conviction is there day by day. And for many years, and I'm not doing this at the moment, but I've actually said to that brother that I'm talking about, I said, I'm going to get back onto my two verses a day because I know I need to do that every day. Just something, a little smidgen of something on the word. To imbibe that into your life, it actually makes you connect with Almighty God. And so in verse 3, the sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Well, this is an interesting verse, isn't it? Because that's quite different from what we read in verse 2. Because God's inclined his ear unto me, I will call upon him as long as I live. But then he says, the sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. It's almost like the psalmist needs to say, well, when I'm in trouble, I've got to physically get in my head that God is a merciful God and he does listen to me. I need to commit myself to him far stronger than I was. And sometimes even when we're strong, we become vulnerable. And when we become vulnerable, brothers and sisters, we have to remind ourselves consciously that God is our Father. Now, how many of us in verse 3, the sorrows of death compassed me and the pains of hell got hold upon me? Our Lord Jesus Christ was in that position. And how fitting that psalm would be in the days leading up to his crucifixion, when this becomes the dominant thought in your mind, that you're undergoing a trial like you've never had before. And this trial is so depressing, it's so containing of my person as it was. And even if we have just troubles that compass me about or compassed us about, and it felt like everything was so dark and without hope, then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord. So we have to formally recognise there's a process here to get us back to God so that we can trust in him again. And life is a bit like that, isn't it? I want to talk about trials and tribulations and the purpose of those trials in our daily life that help us to become the people God's looking for. You know, it's nice and easy to say we have our faith in God, but when it's put to the test and we fall over, and sometimes we fall over immediately, sometimes we do it occasionally, sometimes we've learned that by trusting in God that we don't fall over, we just take it in. We take in the trial and we process it and we actually say, hey, I've learned, and it might be because of our disposition. It may well be that we might be, like I am, very impetuous and maybe potentially judgmental or harsh in evaluating things and saying, hey, I've got to be hard on myself or others. And, you know, and that's a problem because sometimes it's not right. And therefore, when you get into an issue which is a trouble and trial for you, very easy to just process it in a way where you are ignoring what the lessons of life are. We all have our own idiosyncrasies and we all have our own little struggles. But then trials come from outside like it did with Jesus. Where it came from outside, in a sense that it came from outside, but the events were predicted. He knew that he was going to die. However, the reality of trials bears very heavily upon us all. And our Lord was faithful, and yet even in his sorrow and in the pain of his experiences, he still struggled, and yet he had to remind himself of his faith in God. And I think one of the biggest ones that I would recognise, I would think of in Psalm 22, verse 1, it says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You know, if it's any one of us, and we said, God, why have you abandoned me? Why have you done this to me? Is that a wrong question to make? Because his observation in the same psalm, and Jesus actually uttered those words publicly on the cross, my God, why have you abandoned me? And yet the psalm says, God, you haven't abandoned me. In fact, it just feels like you have. But I've got to rejig my life. I've got to actually reassert my faith in you. Because you have heard my voice. You have heard my pleadings. You have heard my supplications. And you have responded. And you're giving me the peace in my life that helps me to get through these trials. And that's what our Lord did in the psalm. So when he said, my God, he wasn't going through an academic process, brothers and sisters. Just like with many of the psalms, how many psalms are there that are talking about the anger regarding the wicked, anger regarding his own enemies within Israel, or his joy or rejoicing in God? And it's almost like a schizophrenic approach to life. It's saying, hey, in one breath I'm actually really, really happy, in another breath I'm so dark and depressed. And yet God doesn't hold those things against us. Even Jesus could say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He could feel down. He could actually say, Father, please take this cup from me, or do it quickly. Let this thing happen very quickly because I'm not bearing the heat of this trial very well. And so by pleading with God, you're actually able to get God to help you through. And this psalm goes on in verse 6. He says, the Lord preserveth the simple. I was low and he helped me. The Lord preserves the simple. Who are the simple? The people who are not complicated. That's probably more like it is. Simple-hearted is what the NEB says. The simple-hearted, people who are not conceited. People who are clear in their head to say, hey, I'm going through a trial. People who are innocent in a sense, but aware of the simplicity of what they're going through. And so in verse 7, return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. You see how it starts off that verse, return unto thy soul, return unto thy rest, O my soul. So it's actually saying I wasn't in rest. I was actually agitated. I was in anguish. I was struggling. I doubted. But I've now returned to the peace I have in Christ. O my soul, he says. And what he's saying there, and you know, I think the aspiration that we, none of us can actually live up to. You remember how the Lord said, there's two commandments. All of law rests on two commandments. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might, and with all thy strength. I think that's a really powerful thing, that aspirationally that's what all of us are aiming for. That our heart might be consumed by God. That our soul, which is our whole person, would be empowered by Almighty God, allowing Christ to dwell in us by faith. That our mind is affected by the things that we know and understand, the logic of what we have. The heart is the emotional side. And the strength. The ability to do something. The ability to demonstrate to God that we have faith. So faith without works is dead, being alone. So faith is the way to lead us into doing the things that we know are good and right before God. And this comes out very strongly in this psalm. In verse 8 he says, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. So no wonder his soul is at peace with God and at rest. He says, for thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before Yahweh in the land of the living. So there's his statement now. He's now saying, because of these things, because I know that when I go through the cycle of going through a trial or going through a difficulty in life, when I remember you, God, that gives me strength, and then I plead to you, I know you're going to help me. I know my person, my soul is going to be re-engaged with you. And I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. And that can be in this life as well as in the life to come, brothers and sisters. Now, this verse 10 and 11 is interesting because I hadn't really thought through the second part of this verse 10. He says, I believe, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. And I think, what's that actually mean? In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13, we won't turn to it just yet. We will turn a bit later. The Apostle Paul quotes the first part of the verse, but not the second part, which is interesting. I believe, therefore have I spoken. So when we listen to the word, brothers and sisters, we go out and preach the gospel like we're going to do tonight. Okay. We believe it, we have a conviction on it, and we go and do it. That's a very appropriate remedy for the process. Not just academic then, is it? It's actually, I believed, therefore have I spoken. But then he says, I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What has that got to do with the thought, I believe, therefore have I spoken? I'm going to suggest, brothers and sisters, that when the NEB, for example, it says how faithless all men are, rather than calling them all liars, how faithless all men are. Is it saying this, brothers and sisters, putting verse 10 and 11 together? I believed, therefore I have spoken, but when I was tested, I realised that I didn't do the things that I believed in. Is that what it's saying? I believe that's what it is saying, brothers and sisters and young people. It's actually saying, yeah, I've got that right. I understand. Yeah, I get buoyed up with the word. I believe, therefore I've spoken. Trouble comes, and then I'm too scared to do it. I may not want to talk about it because other people might think I'm stupid because I'm a believer. Or it might be some doubt comes into your mind because you're being challenged. And we have the conviction, I think this is what it's actually saying. We have the desire to do the right thing before God. But when the test comes, we fall over. And even if I or you are strong in the word, and just supposing we are strong in the word, and yet we fail, you think, if I can fail, or we can fail together, all people are really faithless too. Well, Romans chapter 3 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us say that we're going to do the will of God and we fall over in doing it. I believe, therefore have I spoken, is what the Apostle Paul is talking about. In fact, let's just go to it now, 2 Corinthians 4. There's a few verses there that the Apostle Paul, whilst he doesn't quote the second part of that verse 10, he actually reminds us in the rest of the verses in that context that he understood that. 2 Corinthians 4. And verse 13. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Christ, by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might be through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, and that's what the psalmist is talking about, for which cause we faint not, And though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Whilst we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. It's a really powerful reference back to that psalm, brothers and sisters. So yes, I believe, therefore I speak. But when I undergo trials and somebody is testing me, I can find it very easy to fall over. And therefore, all human beings are like that. All human beings go back and say, can I question God? Am I really trusting in God? Am I the person that I thought I was? And so in verse 12, and I actually believe this is the hub of this psalm. What shall I render unto Yahweh for all his benefits towards me? I know, in previous talks I've done, I've suggested that people go make a list in the front of their Bible about all the benefits they've received in the truth. Just our families being together, brothers and sisters, in this rotten world is almost like a miracle. And some of the alignments that we have with our children and parents, being able to be together and enjoy life together and grow as a unit in the truth. And as all these families come together in the ecclesia, what a blessing it is that we're able to be steadfast and faithful, living out those principles that we've been talking about this morning. Yeah, we all have difficulties. We all have difficulties. And sometimes those difficulties have to get so bad before we get on our hands and knees. But that ought not to be so, brothers and sisters. We ought to pray every single day. And therefore, the psalm to me is one of encouragement to say there is a recipe. There is a recipe that will help us to get through life, that whenever we get up in the morning and we rejoice with the sunrise, or we finish off the day when everything has gone the way it's gone and we absorb whatever it is that's happened during the day, and we can share our hope and conviction with our family and with our friends, and we can join together and stimulate each other and strengthen each other, and you know something? By being knowing God as our Father and not some distant entity that we can't even materialise in our heads. God is not a vapour. God is a reality. And sometimes we may have to, in our own heads, materialise God. I mean, I materialise God in the form without being disrespectful. Psalm 110 says, Yahweh said unto my Lord, Adon, Jesus, sit thou at my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. That's God real to me. I can picture two people sitting next to each other. I can picture God and Jesus being in harmony in mind, in soul, and they share the same values. The Son respects his Father so much that he's done everything that a human being could ever do for his Father. And he's now preparing the kingdom. And I can see that picture of those two brothers and sisters. As I pray to God, I see that picture for me as a real picture. Not a nebulous vapour. God is a reality, brothers and sisters. And our Lord had to materialise those thoughts of saying, what shall I render unto Yahweh for all his benefits to me? And if you are the Lord, brothers and sisters, he could probably list a bucket load of things that were really, really hard every day of his life. And yet he saw the kingdom as clear as day to get him there. We can probably reflect on a lot of things that have happened to us, brothers and sisters, bad things and good things that will help us to reevaluate how loving our Father is. And I think it would be human nature forgets the good things often. Human nature often remembers the bad things. Often. But if you made a list, brothers and sisters and young people, of the things that you know you have benefited from in your life, in this sphere of God's care. Don't forget them. It's important, brothers and sisters, that we don't let human nature take control of us. We are going to take control of our nature in that sense by being conscious of what it is that drives us to become the people God wants us to be. And you know something? The example of our Lord was very clear, and it comes out in the next few verses. Verse 13, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. You notice, I don't know whether you've noticed this, but when you have a conviction, you say, I'm going to resolve to do such and such. Well, in verse 9 he says, well, verse 7 to 9, those three verses are like reaffirming my position before God. And verse 9 says, I will walk before the Lord. So that's my conviction. I will walk before the Lord. In fact, I'll walk in the presence of the Lord. And verse 13 says, I will take the cup of salvation. I've been thinking about that, and I rang this particular brother that I referred to before, just so we could have a bit of a chat about Psalm 116. And there's a lot of cups in the Bible, you know, a cup of trembling and a cup of... there's a few cups there. I'll get those back in my head soon, but there's a number of cups of bitterness and so on. And they are like cups of judgment, in a sense. But at the end of the day, the cup that God wants us to partake of is the cup that Jesus is going to come back to drink with us. And it will be the cup of salvation. Whatever the cup is that God gives us, see, Jesus didn't want to particularly drink of the cup before his crucifixion. And he says, let this cup pass quickly. I'll take it. I don't like it. It's bitter. But the only way to the kingdom is through sometimes the bitterness of life. So ultimately, brothers and sisters, if we're convicted, if we say, well, I have made a resolve. Have a look at verse 14. I will pay my vows unto the Lord. We've already paid our vows. But he's actually saying, I will reaffirm my vows. I will take the cup. I've got to take it. Whatever the bitterness of that cup is, I will take, because ultimately the cup of salvation will give me eternal life in the kingdom of God. But I will pay my vows. Yes, I've failed. I've come back again today, Sunday morning, to pay my respects to Almighty God, that I will reaffirm my vows before him. I will take the cup that's been offered to me in his generosity, in his love, that is a demonstration that I want to be here and I want to be there in the kingdom too. And so verse 15 and 16 are to be read together. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Or in the NEB, precious in the sight of the Lord are those who die faithful to him. It's not just people who are just drifting along. It's actually people saying, well, if we don't have to demonstrate our faith in death, let's demonstrate our faith through our trials too, regardless of what those trials are, whether they're small or large against those that we see around us who undergone their own trials. Precious in the sight of Yahweh are those who die faithful to him. And how beautiful that is in the context of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, knowing that there was no other person on the planet that could actually raise him from the dead other than God Almighty, his Father. And verse 16, O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. thou hast loosed my bonds. That would have to be resurrection, wouldn't it? Thou hast loosed my bonds. You've taken me into the kingdom. You've actually allowed me to enter into my rest, or into my hope, the land of the living. That's where I am now. And so out of his resurrection, brothers and sisters, he saw the cup of salvation. He took the cup of salvation and he says, I will take this cup. I will call upon the name of Yahweh. I will pay my vows. And how do you pay your vows? Have a look at verse 17 and 18. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. See how it's repeated in a way, you know. And verse 18, I will pay my vows unto Yahweh now in the presence of all his people. The way we respond, brothers and sisters, is by the things that we do to show our conviction and our faith in him. I will, says verse 17, I will offer. And verse 18, I will pay my vows. And what is the offer that we give, bring back to God? It's a sacrifice of thanksgiving. I will bring a thank offering. It's not just money. It's a life, brothers and sisters. It's my soul. We are bringing our soul to God. So when we come on a Sunday, we are bringing what it is that God's worked on. God is changing us. And in a bit of a, you know, exercise I did about trial, you know, have we arrived? Are we the people that God's looking for? We're all in the process of being created into the form that's acceptable to God. And some of us have arrived, but some of us need to arrive in our heads, and I'm included in that. That when we have trial, brothers and sisters, do you remember Israel when they came out of Egypt in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3? Have not I brought you these 40 years into this wilderness to try you, to prove you, and to see what is in your heart? It's for you too. It's for us. It's for us to find out who we are. And trials are the best way, brothers and sisters, to actually find out how resilient we are, how faithful we are, how committed we are, and what the blemishes are that we need to work on in our lives. It's when you're confronted with something that you hate or you don't like. There's something that you've been familiar, you're experiencing familiarly over the period of time. When we come to the point of saying, I can take this because I'm ready. And when we're ready, brothers and sisters, with all the struggles that we have, they will lead us into the process of drinking the cup of God's salvation. Because we're saying, hey, I'm allowing God to work on me now. Instead of fighting it, you know, sometimes we come to a point where we say that we trust in God. We then say, well, how do I go when I go through a trial? Do I sometimes, generally, or always fall over when I'm tested? And when I fall over and get angry and frustrated and stop doing this and stop coming to the meetings or whatever it is, we get angry with somebody who's done something, rather than just letting a water wash over us, the water, as it were, of the word, wash over us, then we know when we allow that to happen and we don't say a thing, we just let it absorb into our person and we learn out of restraint the things that will help us to be better, more spiritual before our Lord, and allow that word to so control our minds that we, heart and mind, become one. And therefore our soul becomes at peace with our God. And there's something very powerful and beautiful, brothers and sisters, when you jump that hurdle. And I know a lot of us here have been through some huge trials in life. And sometimes, well, often we may not ever know the answer. But one thing we know is when we trust in God, like our Lord did, There was not one person to raise him from the dead other than our God in heaven. And when he said in John 17, I've done everything you've asked me to do, God, and you can't glorify yourself unless you glorify me, because unless you raise me from the dead. And that's an alignment of thinking. Jesus knew that God needed Jesus to be a faithful son. And he needs every one of us, brothers and sisters, to be faithful to him, so that when we eventually arrive at the day where our Lord returns, and we've been through our own struggles and trials, and we can actually put our arms in his, and we can hug him and say, hey, I had nothing compared to you, but boy, I'm so thankful I got through this. And being at one with our Lord, brothers and sisters, is such a beautiful thing, that peace that passes all understanding, the peace of mind. The mind of Christ is beyond any verbal expression that you can have. When you're at peace with God, then you know that your trials will always be something that you know you're looking for to get the best out of your life. Remember James chapter 1 says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, that the trial of your faith works patience, and let patience have her perfect work, that you might be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. But if you lack wisdom, you ask in faith, nothing wavering. Don't waver. Don't struggle, brothers and sisters. Ask in faith, because God will always give us the answer that we need. May not be the answer we think we need. He always gives us the right answer. And so by looking at this psalm and looking at our Lord, brothers and sisters, this morning, in preparation for the partaking of the emblems, we do so with the knowledge that there is nothing in our own life that will actually earn us a place in the kingdom. And I would like to read just a few verses in conclusion in Romans chapter 5. Can we just turn to that just to finish off the exhortation this morning? Romans chapter 5. Now, I'm going to read from the New English Bible. And I'm going to read it fairly slowly, because I want you to absorb what it is that's being said here. I'll start at verse 1. Therefore, now that we have been justified through faith, let us continue at peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we've been allowed to enter the sphere of God's grace, where we now stand. Let us exult in the hope of the divine splendour that is to be ours. More than this, let us even exult in our present sufferings, because we know that suffering trains us to endure. And endurance brings proof that we have stood the test. And this proof is the ground of hope. Such a hope is no mockery, because God's love has flooded our inmost heart through the Holy Spirit he has given us.